our study of the walk of Peter, and we're in the book of Acts chapter 10. And last week we took note of Peter's introduction to the gospel message that he was about to bring to the house of Cornelius. We're in Acts chapter 10. And just a brief recall of what we spoke about last week in setting that table. This morning we're going to concentrate on the actual message that we read about in verses 37 through, I think, 40. But just to set that table once again, just briefly, Peter said in verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.'" Now in verses 34 and 35, Peter declared that the word of God is true. He's setting the table for the house of Cornelius to let them know. And it's the same thing all of God's preachers do. The first thing we need to make very clear to those who hear our word is that our Lord is Lord of all. His word is true. If you don't believe that every word in this Bible, this scripture that God has given us of the love letter of his son to his people, then there's no sense in us talking about it. There's no sense in us discussing it. You've got to believe that, and that belief is a faith that is given of God. It's the faith to believe in who Jesus Christ is, God Almighty in the flesh. It's the faith to believe what he did. He walked perfectly. He became flesh. He left his glory behind for a moment of time, and he walked this earth. He became 100% man and yet still remained 100% God. I know I can't explain that. It's called the mystery of godliness. Great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Plain and simple. He also said that he was no respecter of persons. In other words, he doesn't care what nation we come from. He's got people in every nation, in every tribe, in every time. The only reason time continues right now is because one of God's children has not been called from darkness yet. Remember in my prayer, I said, "All that the Father giveth you shall come to you," referring to Don Jukic. Well, that stands for all of God's people. There must be one or two still left out there, at least, maybe more. We don't know. Could go on for another 1,000 years. Who knows? I personally think that things are pointing to the fact that Christ may be returning soon, but that's just a personal opinion. People have had that personal opinion for 2,000 years, haven't they? And people have been wrong. Oh, but aren't you thankful that our Lord is never wrong? He is always true. He is always faithful. "Great is thy faithfulness," is the song we sing. He's no respecter of persons, meaning that God's chosen people are from all nations, all tribes, from every tongue. And then in verse 36, he opens his message with the foundation of all gospel messages. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And that includes our free will, so-called free will, which is not really free because it's bound by our nature, and our nature is sin. He's Lord of everything. We can't even call him Lord, truly call him Lord in our own hearts, unless the Holy Spirit dwells in that heart. I mentioned this briefly a moment ago. In Colossians 2:9, we read these words, "For in him," in our Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ, "for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This is the key for peace to the souls of men. God was manifest in the flesh, the God-man, 100% man, 100% God. everything Christ Jesus did was as perfect as God the Father, as God the Spirit, for these three are one. Three distinct persons, yes, but one in mind, one in purpose, one in all power, one in all wisdom. And because He is Lord of all, everything that is said about Him we can trust. Every promise that He has given to His children, to His people, we can trust. We can trust His righteousness. He was perfect. Everything He did pleased the Father. And if we're in Him, we can trust that our perfection, our righteousness is His. His righteousness is ours. And therefore ours is perfect also before God the Father. Not this righteousness that you might think is in the flesh, but our righteousness that is in Him. We can trust His atonement, His payment. The fact that He laid down His life for us was the blood of God shed on that cross. We can trust that it was effectual. We can trust that all of the sins that God says He laid upon His Son were laid upon Him and paid for 100%. We don't have to walk around thinking, well, did God pay for that one? Did the Lord pay for that one? I don't know, that was pretty bad. That thought that just went through my mind a moment ago, Lord, forgive me. Did you pay for that one too? Yes. If you belong to Him, it's all paid for. Every single one. And for those of us that still live on this earth in this valley of shadow of death, that's good news, because we're still going to sin tomorrow, this afternoon, maybe next hour. We can trust His atonement. We can trust the life He lived. We can trust the life He gave. And we can trust the life He lives. You know, our Lord says to you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know that's tough to think about. I can't help but think, because it's so present on all of our minds, how would I feel going through what my sister Shirley had to go through for the past week? How would I react going through the things our brother Roger Deaver went through? How would I react going through the time when you lost your husband? How would I react if I lost one of my children, as my brother has, or as Brother Gene, Pastor Gene has? It would be hard, as I would imagine it was for you, as I can imagine it is for Shirley, as I can imagine it was for Don, but I can only imagine. We suffer greatly in this flesh. Not with just the things around us, but with the sin that dwells within us. But our Lord says to us, you're mine. I've paid for you. I shall have you. And I can trust that, because He's my Creator. Now Peter goes on in verse 37 again, declaring that the Word, he says, that word that was preached unto all, that Jesus is the Lord of all, He says, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. He said that word, the word of peace, how it was preached from John the Baptist and on throughout all of Judea. And then in verse 38, we see the gospel message expounded. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is the commandment that was given by God to these men in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded of you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now allow me once again to quote Don Fortner on this section of God's Word. He says, the Apostle Peter had many faults and failures. He was like all other gospel preachers, only a man. Yet he was faithful to the charge and responsibility God gave him. It mattered not where the Lord sent him. Don't forget, he's in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. It mattered not of where the Lord sent him. He went forth preaching the gospel. It mattered not who his hearers were. He preached the gospel to them. It mattered not what the results might be. Peter was a preacher, so he preached the gospel wherever God's providence opened the door. He was happy to preach to thousands in the temple, to the powerful Sanhedrin, or in the home of a Roman soldier who had gathered a few friends to hear the good news. What an example Peter sets before us. End of quote. We had a gentleman come here, really nice guy. I'm sorry that we couldn't come to an agreement. I'm sorry that his agenda was different of what we believe and what we see in God's Word as the ways to worship our Lord and Savior. But he didn't think preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified was enough. There was more to. There was more to those things. Some kind of dispensational times and how God would return this way or that way. Folks, there are folks all over who know some truths about God but yet want to go further than that. My responsibility to you is exactly what Peter's responsibility was to these folks at Cornelius' house, and that is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I got. I don't have anything else. I'm not a learned man who can go into scriptures and tell you, here's Ezekiel. Let me explain Ezekiel to you from chapter 1 all the way through. I can't go into scriptures and tell you, this is what this means completely. I rely a lot on what other men say, but mostly on what the Lord has done in my own heart. This is what Peter's telling these people at Cornelius' house. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and with power. And then Christ went about. I can tell you about the Lord going about doing these healings because He healed me. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I can tell you how God was with my Savior. Because death did not hold him. He sits on his throne right now. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he lives in my heart. I can only tell you what I know. And that's what Peter's doing. He's telling them what he knows. I've heard it said, I just want to preach. I don't want all those other responsibilities of running a church. I'm a preacher, not a businessman. That's what God's preachers are. Preachers. Some may be a little more gifted in other areas. There's a whole lot of God's preachers who are more gifted at studying than John Reeves is. But we all do the same thing. We bring to you the message of what Christ has done for us. Preaching the gospel of God to God's people is our first and foremost concern. Everything else is secondary. This is why I've had such a strong push to continue, no matter what the cost, these conferences. Preaching His Word is the most important thing. The means God uses to call His lost children, to feed His sheep, they are the highest priority. We as the Church of God, we must never lose sight of our purpose. The purpose of our existence in this world. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy 3:15. But I tarry long, writes Paul, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Where else are people going to go to hear the truth preached? But unto God's church, unto His buildings that He has spread out throughout the country, throughout the world. They're sure not going to hear it in that place across the street over there. The church is to be the sounding board. The sounding board for the gospel. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to Thessalonians. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Paul would go into areas of Thessalonia where the gospel had been preached by those he had left and made up the church of. And he's, oh, you guys know all of this already. How wonderful. You folks know the Lord. How wonderful. No more, no less. The Church of the Living God is not a social club. It's not an entertainment center or a political force. The Church of God is, by divine commission, a preaching center. Our ministry is to preach His gospel. He didn't say go out and feed the poor. He said, go out and preach the gospel unto all the corners of the earth. Yes, we are to feed the poor. Actually, He did say that in other places. But the commission is to go out and preach the gospel. If you're not preaching the gospel, the rest of it doesn't matter. Look at, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy. Our business, collectively, all the churches, in other words, all the congregations spread out through all the world, our business is preaching. So preaching is the business of God's preacher specifically. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge thee, Paul writes, to Timothy. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I ask you something. Is it possible but that the Lord may be speaking about this time you and I walk in right now? When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. For they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. God's preachers are not called to be counselors. We're not called to be psychologists, social workers, or religious promoters. As God's servants, we are called to be watchmen, to warn of the impending danger that is ahead. We are preachers, men with messages from God for His people. End of quote. It is my responsibility to preach that gospel. Peter here is set before us as an example, a pattern of the true gospel preacher. And I want to point out three things. He was sent of God by Himself. God Himself put Peter into the ministry. God alone determined what he would preach. And God put him right where he was to preach. And when he preached, God gave him a message. Remember, he was on the rooftop praying, "What shall I do?" And what did the Lord do? He sent him a message. I was listening, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in the message that's about to come, but I was listening to a message. Why? God inspired me to turn on sermon audio and listen to it. It was by Pastor David Edmondson last Sunday morning. My message this morning is going to be almost word for word what he said. I can't remember every word because I didn't write everything down. But the Lord gave me a message for the folks here this morning to preach just by listening to another man's message and praying, "Lord, what shall I preach this next Sunday?" I do that every week. Peter preached with divine authority. Every true minister must speak because he is commanded to speak. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 8 verse 20. Before I read that, the preacher's doctrine must be the doctrine of God. It must be plainly revealed in Holy Scripture. It says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them," speaking of false preachers. Peter's message was the same in its essence. Peter preached the person, the work of Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, back in our text in the book of Acts. And we're going to look at chapter 2 for just a moment. Look at Acts chapter 2. Let's compare Peter's message back there in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what they was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." "And on my servants," verse 18, "and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and when I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord, the day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, having been delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, let's compare that with Acts chapter 3, verses 11. Turn over to Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Excuse me. Now we're comparing the messages that Peter has brought. We've read the one in Acts chapter 10, how Peter brought out that God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power, who went about doing good and healing. Comparing that with these other messages that Peter had brought. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. Now, one more. Let's go over to Acts chapter 4 and let's look at one more message that Peter has brought. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Do you see the message that Peter's bringing? It's not a message of dispensational times. Not a message about how good you're supposed to be. It's a message about our Lord and Savior. It's the message God brings through all of His preachers to His people. When Gene Harmon first preached to John Reeves and God opened my ears, I didn't hear about all the great things John was supposed to be doing. I heard about the great things that my Lord did for me because I can't do them. Listen to this message here. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. What is the gospel message to be preached? Jesus Christ and him crucified is what Paul tells us. The sovereign free grace of the Almighty Creator. And he died for those whom he has loved before all creation. But he didn't just die for us, he raised himself up. He says, I lay down my life, I raise it up again. Death could not hold our Lord because he is Lord of all. If Christ died for you, it's because he has loved you from all eternity. If Christ died for you, it was sure as sure can be. If Christ died for you, nothing will keep you from him. Amen. Next week we'll continue on in Acts chapter 10.